Welcome to Blondie and the Brit, Writing, Publishing, and Beyond. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com. Welcome to Blondie and the Brit podcast. I am Blondie, KJ Waters.
And I'm Suzanne Cowman, I'm the Brit.
And together we're Blondie and the Brit.
Yay!
Woohoo! I am the author of Stealing Time.
And I'm the author of The Rejected Writer's Book Club.
Hey, this is KJ. Suzanne is off this week. She's finishing her second book and getting it off to her editor, so I'm taking over. And we are honoring one of our award-winning authors from our podcast Audience Choice Awards. Rachel Thompson is on the program. She's the author of Broken Places, which is one of Indie Reader's best of 2015 top books. And she also is the owner of Bad Redhead Media, which gives effective social media and book marketing campaigns for authors. She has articles that appear regularly in the Huffington Post, San Francisco Book Review, IndieReader.com, Feminine Collective, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Welcome to Blondie and Brit. Today we have a very special guest again. Rachel Thompson is with us. Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you so much.
Yes, we have her back because she is the winner of two Blondie and the Brit Audience Choice Awards. She won for Best Social Media Tips, and she was my choice, Blondie's choice, for Best Overall Podcast. So you are the only person who won two awards.
Aw, thank you. It's such an honor.
Yes.
Just totally surprised.
Well, we appreciate all the time you gave us. We kept you on the phone for at least an hour and a half, and there was so much information in there. I listened to your podcast to find which little clip we wanted. I was like, oh my God, I didn't do that yet. It's making a huge list, so I still have some work to do. So hopefully you won't give us too much more information now. I've really got to catch up for the old other things.
There's quite a few. I'm busy.
You are very busy. And so we'll get right to it. Congratulations on your awards. And I think since the last time we interviewed you in April, and you've had a ton of changes and all these other new things going on. So let's get right to that.
Yes. Okay, well, since we spoke in April, at the end of May, my publisher at the time was Booktrope, and I was heading up the Gravity imprint for them, and they closed.
Yeah.
So that was the end of that.
Darn.
But very quickly, within a week or two, I was picked up by an agent based in New York, Lisa Hagen Literary, which was, you know, I had never had an agent before, and she, I guess, had been kind of keeping an eye on my books and my platform and the advocacy work that I do, and was very determined to bring me on. So I signed with her, and she and Beth Wareham, who used to be one of the lead editors at Simon & Schuster, has since struck out on her own. They have partnered up and formed a small boutique agency called Shadow Teams, and they signed me to their publishing company.
Yes, congrats.
Yeah. So I was basically just going to self-publish again because I'd been through it before with my previous, I have four books actually at this point, the two broken books, which I'm most well known for, and two humor books. And so I thought, I'll just self-pub again. I totally understand everything that I need to do. I obviously get the marketing thing, given that I have 20 years in marketing and, you know, 7 or 8 in the publishing industry. And this is what I do for my company, Bad Redhead Media. So I was like, you know, cool, let's just do it. And they said, no, we'll take your broken books. And they signed me to republish the two broken books in both print and digital, as well as my upcoming Broken People, which I'm about halfway through writing right now.
Yeah.
And I also, in February, we talked about I had done the 30-day marketing challenge, and that's a Bad Redhead Media book. And they wanted me to go ahead and sign with them for that series of books. So I am in the very final stages of doing that right now. It's been totally rewritten, you know, updated, because something on Twitter or Facebook changes pretty much every day.
Gosh, you have to get that book out quick before everything changes again.
I know. So the way it's broken down is, you know, the first week you do, it's a 30-day challenge. So the first week you do Twitter, the second week Facebook and Google Plus, I kind of go into a little bit, and Pinterest. And then the third week is more about book promotion. And the fourth week is really about just, you know, going over reviews and blog tours and other promotional ways to promote your book and things like that, other sites. And basically I just tell people, you know, take a look, give it a try. I'm not promoting these various sites in any way. I'm not getting any kind of incentives for mentioning them. These are just things that I've tried or that I've used with my clients, and your mileage may vary. But here's, you know, some things to look at. And so it's an assignment or two every day. And, you know, it's a way to learn what's out there, because I think a lot of people just really aren't aware. It's very overwhelming. Yeah. It's like you've got this whole world of things to choose from and what works and what doesn't. So yeah, that's really
it's good just to have the broken down in little bite-sized pieces too, to like, okay, all you have to do, it's Twitter, yes, yeah. I know you're terrified of it, but go do this one little thing today.
Exactly.
I think it's brilliant. It's a brilliant way to give people baby steps so they can get a feel for it, and then they get comfortable with it, and then they learn what it is, and then they can get, you know, get onto more exciting things with it. But to just
have a And then, you know, if you get busy and you're like, okay, I have a 2-week vacation coming up and I am not going to do weeks two and three, then you come back to it when you can, you know. And then the next book in this series is just going to be all Twitter for the 30 days. And then the next one's going to be all Facebook and, you know, on and on. So, you know, I'll be pretty much set with them for that series. And then I also am working on my next
Wait, before you go on, when can we get our hands on that first book? Come on, lady, give us...
I know. Well, I mean, I sent it out to just an entire group of beta readers. I have a wonderfully active street team of over 125 members, and I would say over 100 of them signed up to be beta readers, which is a great marketing tactic, by the way, if anybody's listening. because you ask them for reviews. They, of course, are not in any way, you know, committed 100%. They don't, you don't have to expect them to do it, but it certainly would be nice. And they're just giving feedback on an initial, I mean, it's not your first draft, obviously, but it's as you're going through. So I'll take their feedback, put that into the book, and then we'll send out some final ARCs, which are advanced review copies. And then hopefully they'll be willing to leave a review when the book goes live. And we were hoping to get it out in October, but there was so much amazing feedback that I got from these beta readers to make the book better that we're really going through each one. I would say probably 30 people sent me amazing feedback that was really usable and practical. So, we're not shoving it out the door. I want it to be great and practical and helpful. So we're looking at November, probably around Thanksgiving.
Good.
And so that's when that will be out. And, I always feel like this is my thought with regard to releasing a book. A book is ready. It lets you know when it's ready. So with regard to Broken People, I was hoping for a Christmas release. You know, everybody wants to have a Christmas release. But usually in the industry, February is typically best-selling month for books, probably because people get gift cards and e-readers. And, you know, it's like they finally settle down. January's so crazy with back to school and getting in shape. So, you know, I'm not really sure why that is.
Well, it makes sense. I feel like February is a time where it's like, okay, it's boring winter. Christmas is over. I need something else to do. And I think that's probably, at least in my life, it's a calmer moment. The kids are in school, you know, everything's settling back down. You don't have to be in summer and going vacation, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so I'm really hoping for a February release, Broken People.
Cool.
And so, and then my next series for my author account, I guess, as you would say, for, you know, my advocacy and, you know, I write about being sexually abused and the aftermath of all that. That's still my focus, but I'm really looking at what I feel is missing. And of course, that's really a huge topic right now with what's happening with politics and everything. I really don't get into the whole political side of it because I feel like you can't really, even though people are trying, I really don't feel that sexual assault, rape, and childhood sexual abuse should or needs to be politicized. we really just need to talk about having compassion for survivors, as opposed to saying, well, you know, he did it, or she did it, or her husband did it, or his wife did it, whatever. Exactly. I think compassion is what's missing. And so I really want to focus on that aspect in my future writing. And so that's really my goal right now. What will that turn into?
Are you going to do like a nonfiction book about that? Or is it more articles? What is it? Entail.
Well, I'm kind of keeping that a little close to my vest right now, but I am doing some research to get prepared for that next stage.
So something exciting, something different and unique, because it's you, and of course that's what it's going to be. So.
Thank you. And then another update is that I started the book marketing chat, which is new. I started that in June, and it was a way to really tie in what I'm doing with the book marketing challenge, but it's a totally free hour that I have dedicated on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock Pacific time, 9 o'clock Eastern time. And what I do is, it's on my Bad Redhead Media Twitter account. It's a Twitter chat. And I basically just give away an hour where I choose a topic every week. I have experts come in. We've had people come in from Buffer, from Coast Schedule. I've had publishing industry experts come in, and we talk about a specific topic to help authors understand book marketing, how to spend their time, ask questions, interact with these people. And if you can't make it, or even if you're not on Twitter, we have a public page on Facebook where we pin all the chats to the top of the Facebook page, and you can read through the summary every week if you're interested. So it's a wonderful way to get totally free information without spending a lot of time.
Yeah, no, it's a great idea. My only problem is that it's right when I'm putting up the next week's podcast. So
you can always go over and just take a look at that.
Yeah, I do. And that's one of the reasons that I gave you the overall award. Not only was your podcast full of information, but that you give so much back to people. You have the sex abuse chat. You have that on, what is that, a different night?
Tuesday nights at 6 Pacific time. Yeah, every Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. And then you do the book marketing chat, and you have all these other things that you've got great articles and really good information. So if anyone's out there that's book marketing, which you are because you're listening to our podcast, you should go to, why don't you give your website and where your blog is, because you've got great information on there as well.
Thank you. That's my business, which is badredheadmedia.com. And just click on articles and we update. I write most of the articles, of course, weekly. And then I have some staff writers who are experts in the industry as well, who guest once a month. Probably I have Marjorie Walshaw, who owns evatopia.com. She is a publishing expert. She has her own publishing company. And so she writes from the publishing perspective, giving, you know, authors advice on writing queries or how to approach, you know, a publishing company or what to look for, whether they want to go traditional or hybrid, that kind of thing. She actually was a guest a couple weeks ago. And then I have Barb Drozdowicz, who is wonderful. She was a reviewer for many, many years. And she also is now, and has been for a long time, a WordPress expert. So she writes a lot about SEO, also about reviewing and interacting with book bloggers. She created this wonderful site called the Book Blogger List, which is free for any author or blogger. And you go and you put in your genre, and up pops every blogger that blogs about that genre and all of their contact information. And she updates it constantly. And there's over 1,000 bloggers listed.
Wow, that's a great resource. Wow.
Yeah. It was listed by Publishers Weekly as one of the top resources for authors with regard to book bloggers.
That's amazing. Now, let me ask you this. Wait, before you go on, do you have like two clones helping you do all this? Because
I do have an author assistant, and I was just going to mention her, Melissa Flickinger, and she's like the best author assistant in the world. She's like Johnny on the spot, and she is available if people want to hire her. She's very reasonable. And I do tell authors who say, oh, I could never afford that, you can even hire her for, you know, 1 or 2 hours a month just to take care of emails for you, sign you up for various things, go through, you know, admin stuff really bogs us down, as any author can attest to. And she can even schedule in tweets for you. If, you know, for example, if you want to share 3 blog posts a week and you're not sure how to use Buffer or Hootsuite or whatever, she can do all that for you. And that can really save you a huge amount of time when you want to be focused on your writing. So I definitely would suggest, you know, connecting with her. She's Melissa Flicks on Twitter, or Melissa Flicks Author Services, if you just Google her, or just, you know, contact me and I'll give you her information. She's terrific. And she was a book manager with Book Trope. So she's very experienced in how to market authors as well.
Yeah,
so,
might just be nice, a good thing to do. Like, you're about to launch a book. What ideas do you have? What do you think I can do? I mean, that kind of thing too.
She's brilliant. And she's the queen of doing Facebook parties, you know, where you do a launch party. She's super organized and invites people, has great ideas and giveaways. And I mean, she's a genius at that. Ooh. I can't say enough great things about her. So she writes about all that stuff. If you want to know how to do a Facebook party, then, you know, go to my blog because she wrote about it.
Ah, see, cool. Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Well, that's good advice as well. Let's hope we don't flood her with every last person. Just keep her away from you. You get first dibs, right? Isn't that true?
Yeah. I'm booked, so she's got you slotted in there. No worries there.
There you go. I would hate for you to be less productive because you gave this great tip.
Yeah.
Well, very good. It sounds like you're involved in even more things than the last time we talked. I don't know how you do all those things, but like you said, coffee and not much sleep, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then lately, you know, I've been very actively involved with the advocacy with regard to Broken Pieces and Broken Places, and writing a lot about, I always am looking for guests who have a real life experience to share. And it doesn't have to be something with regard to sexual abuse. One of my guest recently talked about how he survived an accidental gunshot wound. Wow. And it's amazing. My Twitter account was recently verified, which was a shock, but wonderful. And actually Bad Redhead Media was as well. And so I've been able to connect with people who you wouldn't really expect. Like, if you've ever seen Dinner in a Movie on AMC, the host, Paul Gilmartin, talks about being abused when he was a child by his mother.
Oh, wow.
And so I connected with him and he wrote a blog post for me about his experience.
Wow.
And that's on my rachelandtheoc.com site. And so I'm open to people sharing their stories, but I say you have to really get into the nitty gritty. Not that you have to be explicit, because I know that can be triggering for a lot of people, but you have to really talk about, you know, you have to show, not tell, really. That's what we're always saying as authors. And the hashtags lately have been crazy with regard to the, you know, politics. And like I said, I don't really get into that, but one of the ones that I jumped on the other day was Why Women Don't Report.
Yeah.
And I was just on a roll. You know, sometimes if you're into Twitter or even Facebook, you just get on a roll. And one of the things that really upsets me or bothers me about being a survivor is the ignorance that people don't understand how your brain really changes and you can totally freeze in a situation with, you know, fight or flight, right?
Yeah.
And so some of my tweets were actually picked up by a CNN reporter, and she contacted me and said, would you be okay with us using some of your tweets in a story that we're doing about why women don't report being abused or raped or assaulted? And I was like, sure.
Yeah. Can't hurt.
But she was really kind. Other people, so that kind of blew up my Twitter. I certainly didn't expect that to happen. And it's been an insane few days. Most, I would say 90% of the feedback has been amazing and wonderful. And so many survivors have come out and told their stories and shared them with me on their my timeline. Now, I have to say, daily people contact me with their stories, and have almost since I released my first Broken book in 2013. But this has been on a hugely grander scale.
Yeah, I guess so.
So I'm really pleased that the conversation is opening up, because I think it's helpful for survivors. And that's the most important thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good venue. It's Twitter. It's, you know, it's not like you're in front of a lot of people. You can say it, kind of help yourself get those feelings out and deal with them a little bit and not have it be a place where you're actually having to look people in the eye. And, you know, it's a little safer environment.
Yes. Okay. And I think it's also beneficial just because some people, women or men, have just never spoken about it and they're finding support in ways that they never dreamed. And I think that's what social media can be really good for. And, you know, the trolls come out and I just ignore them.
Good. Yeah, you've got your share, that's for sure, on several different topics.
Goodness.
I've seen them. And I've seen your hilarious responses to them, too. You handle it all very well.
Thank you. Well, you know, the one thing that I always caution people about is that it's very public. Tweets are indexed by Google. Every tweet goes into the Library of Congress. I don't think people realize that, you know, people are watching pretty much everything that you say. Tweets are even connected to your Amazon author account.
Yeah.
And so if somebody's over on your Amazon author account and you're saying something that's really untoward or offensive, and somebody's on your Amazon author account and that's what they see, that could affect your sales. Not that everything that we do is about sales, but I'm just...
Yeah, there's repercussions.
Yeah, you know, just be authentic, which I think is a huge part of who we are as authors. But I think we also just have to be very conscious of how we come across.
That's a very good point. And we can take that through everything you do as an author, whether it's book marketing or just talking to people. I mean, the politics, seriously, some of these people, I don't think they kind of get the big picture is, yes, you have these strong opinions about politics, but does everyone need to agree with you? Or, you know what I mean? You're kind of hurting your author platform by being so vocal about some of that stuff. So,
yeah, I actually did write an article. I kind of got into it a little bit for like a week or so because I was just, you know, it was hard as a survivor to see what was going on and how women were being treated.
I'm sure that's true.
And then I said, why am I doing this? I need to be working. I need to be writing. I need to be focused on upcoming projects and my family. And this is really taking away. And I didn't like the person that I was becoming because it's very negative and toxic. And I wrote a post saying that I'm not going to be discussing politics on social media anymore because it really goes against anything that I stand for as a person and as an author. And I posted it on my own blog as well as on Medium, which I think is a great platform for any author. You simply just connect it through your Twitter account. And also on a site called Mogul, which is an amazing site, especially for women. I mean, it's hundreds of thousands of people are on the site, and a lot of people don't even know about it. And I've actually become what they call a Mogul ambassador, or influencer, I should say. And I can't even believe how that post blew up. And I ended up on Medium's homepage with that post. Wow. So it's kind of nuts. You just don't realize sometimes when you're truly authentic, as I just said earlier, how people relate to that.
Yeah.
And I think that's just really important. You know, we don't have to hide behind, here's what I wrote. I wrote 3,000 words today, or, you know, I see that a lot. I had 4 followers and 5 unfollows. You know, nobody really cares about that stuff.
No, and it's so and lame.
All that is holy, please turn off your automatic DM. Welcome to my world. Please buy my book. You know,
I know. I've had some lately says, I know, I hate auto DMs too. And then it's like 20 pages. I'm like, what? Seriously? Why did they, why did they think that's going to work? All I want to do is just, we have this conversation every time we talk and it's my least favorite thing. And then now starting in, some of it is coming onto Facebook. I've had people free book swap and, you know, things without even a conversation. It's like, oh no, now Facebook is being infected by the greedy booksellers, you know, it's just, ugh.
Yeah, I got that. I think I posted that yesterday. I saw it on a client's page. Every post that she had, some guy posted, I hope you're well. Here's my book with a link. Will you please read and review it? Totally spamming. And of course, what's convenient with Facebook on pages is that you can just ban this person from the page completely and report them, which is really nice because you don't have to go through each post. But I thought, what nerve.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm getting it on my blog now too. Hey, I really liked your post. Here's mine and a link. Which is great because I don't have to approve it and I can, you know, mark it as spam as well. But I think, you know, just do the work.
Yeah.
You know, there's no easy button. And that's really why I'm writing my 30-day challenge book and doing book marketing chat. You know, it's not that hard, but you do have to do the work.
Well, and it's about building relationships, though. You can't just like meet someone and then throw all your stuff at them. It's just, it's such bad manners. You would never do that in a business scenario. You need to create a relationship for people to trust you and want your product.
Exactly. It's no different than any other kind of selling situation. And I did sales. I was, you know, in soul-sucking big pharma for a while.
Too long.
Started as a sales rep. And I do actually discuss that in my about page on Bad Redhead Media. What I, you know, sales, a selling situation is in and of itself an awkward, weird, stilted situation. And the only thing that really makes it comfortable is the human element. And so that's what you really have to focus on is building that relationship. And it may take, you know, 8 to 10 interactions of just, you know, shooting the breeze before you, you know, somebody says, okay, I like this person. Maybe I'll check out what they do. Or I like their message.
Right.
And their message is what's going to get me to click on their bio and or click on a quote. I really like what they're saying here. So maybe I'll go check out their book.
Yeah.
And that's really what it comes down to. You know, the desperation, I think, is what is standing in the way of so many authors getting sales.
Yeah.
You know, tweeting constant links about my book is really ineffective.
Yeah, you've got to have content and connection. I mean, it's like you said, I love that the way you said that too. The human element is what makes it not so awkward. And so be a human.
Mm-hmm.
Go out there and be charming, great, have a good personality, hey, do something fun, and people will be attracted to that and then be interested in what you're selling. So
absolutely.
Hopefully absolutely. Some people hear that. I feel like I've taken some time, people who send me these giant ones, and I used to like try to help them, like, yeah, this doesn't work. But now I'm just like, fuck, I don't have time. Y'all are doing all the same.
And they get really offended too. You know, if you say something like, you know, maybe try interacting first, or, you know, here's an article that might help you, they just get really, like, how dare you try to correct me or something.
Well,
so whatever.
People who start off and don't really get the whole social media thing is it's like they're nervous and they just want to shove it all out there, but it takes a really long time to build a good platform that's effective. And you have to, like you said, you have to put in the work. You need that platform. You need to have a lot of followers. You need to have a lot of conversations. It's not like an instant thing. You know, you can't just show up on Twitter and instantly people buy your stuff. It's just not how it works. Twitter is my most effective way of selling books, though, at least in terms of the daily basis kind of thing. So
I believe
if
so
you use
too.
It right, if you use it right.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe so. For me, it's definitely, and it's not one thing. I mean, I'll have some clients who will say, okay, I'll give it 1 month and how many books will I sell? And I tell them, you know, there's absolutely no way that I can give you that number. And anybody who tells you a number, if you put out 5 tweets a day, you'll sell 25 books in a month. There's just no possible way. Because it's your entire platform and all the things. And I wrote a post about what a platform is, because some authors are completely confused by what a platform even is. It sounds like a very nebulous, you know, weight that's going to drop down on their heads, and it's not. You know, it's all the things that you do. For example, blogging, I hear from so many authors, I don't have time to blog, it takes away from my writing. Okay, that's fine, but, you know, Google loves fresh content. How is Google going to send people to your website if you're not putting anything new on your blog, right?
Good point.
And how are readers going to connect and interact with you? Let's say, you know, Aunt Jane, who's 55 or 60, doesn't like social media, but she reads blogs. So, you know, you have to think about who's your demographic, who's your ideal reader, and how are you going to connect with them? And so, you know, if Twitter's the only way that you are going to do that, but your reader, for example, is an older person, they're probably going to be on Facebook. And so that's probably where you want to spend your time. And I do send a lot of people over to Pew Research to really understand, which is totally free.org, what age groups are on which site. So, for example, if you write YA books, then you really want to be on Snapchat and even Instagram. Yeah. I have a 17-year-old daughter, so she's a perfect example. She spends, you know, her free time on Instagram and Pinterest. She doesn't like Snapchat, but, you know, I do see so many, let me ask you, I see so many people who love Snapchat, but for authors, I wonder how effective it is for marketing.
I have not done anything on Snapchat. I got a Snapchat account because I have a preteen girl and I wanted to know, be notified if she got on there, because when I first heard about it, it was the pictures disappear and it was like, oh no.
Yeah.
So I didn't want her on there. And so that's all I've ever done with it. I am looking at it because I know it's a big deal. And one of my short stories is very popular in teen and young adult, which is weird because it's about drugs and guns and hurricanes, but okay, whatever. So I probably should be on there, but I don't have the slightest idea how to start that. And my other problem is, when am I going to have time to learn a new platform? I feel like if I'm going to do it, I have to go wholeheartedly and do a good job at it. So I'm kind of on the verge of getting to the point, well, yeah, I think I probably should get over there and start figuring it out. But, you know, I only have so much time in a day. So what am I giving up for that, right? So
yeah, I'd really love to see some studies on that. I'm a total research nerd. So I'd love to see some kind of analytics on how effective Snapchat is for authors.
Yeah.
So if anybody has that data or can contact me, how they're using it, and if they're actually seeing sales coming from it. Because you can actually link, like in Twitter or Facebook, you can create a bit.ly customized tracked link. So you know how many clicks you're getting from Twitter over to Amazon or from Facebook over to Amazon. So if somebody's done that with Snapchat, I'd love to know how many clicks they're getting.
Much traffic goes through. And that is an interesting thought, right? Yeah. Okay. I mean, to do different bit.ly links for each of the different platforms, you can see too which ones you're getting the most traffic from.
Yeah. And are you getting traffic to your blog from Snapchat? You know, I just really haven't seen enough data. Now, business people, I'm part of this huge group in Facebook called Social Media Masterminds, and they're all over Snapchat for business because it's huge for like corporate brands, right?
Yeah,
they just do all this amazing stuff on it. But I just haven't seen anything for individual authors, and that is my focus.
Yeah, I'm just
curious. And that's something I'd like to find out more about. But, you know, like you said, could I be any busier? No.
That's the problem. But, you know, if it's the new thing and that's what's going to really drive sales, it's worth the time, right? So you give up something else that maybe hasn't brought in as much time. I also want to do more on Pinterest, but...
I know, right? Well, listen, I do have a couple articles about Pinterest. It depends, like, if you join some group boards, which I have joined some amazing group boards where people share their stuff and then you share theirs, and it's very quick. I've seen huge traffic to my website or my blogs because of it. But also Tailwind is an amazing way to schedule pins. And you can schedule a whole month's worth of pins and have it drop into your feeds. And it's terrific.
Wow.
And so I recommend checking that out.
That is amazing. Now, do you have to have an individual, like a month's worth of each one is different, like the Hootsuite, where it has to be completely different?
No.
Okay, so that's what it was hanging me up. It's like, okay, I can do about 2 days worth, and then I can't.
No, and you can just do 1 or 2 days if you want, and the first 100 pins are free, and then you have to pay for a monthly fee. So, you know, it can take you 3 months to get through 100 pins, or you can, you know, schedule something in, you know, 10 a day and get through it very quickly.
Yeah.
So I went very slow, and now I've used up my 100, but I'll definitely book. And you can actually add Pinterest now to Hootsuite and Buffer.
Yeah.
But it's a little more complicated.
Yeah,
I prefer Tailwind.
Do you?
It's
so
easy.
I've had a little trouble on Hootsuite because then you have to have, like, there's an address you got to put in separately. And sometimes I don't really know what that is, or it's like one more step you've got to do when you're trying to do all these at once. So,
I know. Yeah. I know. I find Tailwind is just really easy. I did add the Tailwind app to my Hootsuite, but I didn't find it was any easier.
Oh.
So I actually just found it easier just, you know, click on Tailwind, throw in a couple pins, and boom, I'm done.
Okay.
And I really just go in like once a week and, you know.
Yeah.
I find it really easy. But it does take a little bit of time to, you know, like anything.
Yes.
You kind of have to get up to speed with it. But
exactly.
I think it's worth
Can I ask you an insider question? You don't have to answer, but this talking about all this stuff, tell me what your strategy is. Like, I spend some time and schedule Hootsuite stuff, and I have book stuff, and I've got content stuff, and then I throw in my podcast and the blog and la, la, la. What do you do? What service do you use? How do you use it? Are you able to divulge such intricate secrets?
Of course. Oh, I share this stuff on my blog all the time.
Oh, cool. Okay.
I primarily use Hootsuite. I've been using it almost since I started my business. Actually, even before my business, I take that back. I probably have been on Hootsuite since 2010.
Dang. So, didn't even know they had it then. Wow.
Yeah, it's been around for a while. I started my business in 2011. I find for managing multiple accounts, even if you're only managing your own account, you're still going to have, for example, Facebook, personal and page, your Twitter account. I personally have two Twitter accounts. I have multiple Twitter accounts because I have some promotional accounts as well. For the purposes of this discussion, we have Rachel in the OC and Bad Redhead Media. And then, you know, my personal Facebook and my author Facebook. And then I have my Bad Redhead Media Facebook. And then you'd have your Google Plus. I strongly encourage everybody to have a Google Plus, what they call a brand page, because it's owned by Google. And so that's going to show up first when you do a search on Google.
And that's different than just a Google Plus page. A brand page is different.
Right, okay. Right. Now, I did notice Hootsuite is starting to incorporate your personal Google Plus as well. So they didn't ever used to do that. So if you can incorporate both, I would do that. But the brand page actually is what's going to show up in Google. So one or the other. And then you're going to have your LinkedIn. So those are the ones. So even just one author could bring in 5 or 6 accounts. And there's a free option. I think it only allows like 3 accounts. So if you do the full option where you want to have more than 3 accounts, you pay for a pro. And I think it's, I don't know,
$10 a month, isn't it? I think that's what
10 maybe. Yeah. Over the course of a year, I mean, you can write that off on your taxes as a non-reimbursable business. Recommend
it. Yeah, me too.
So I use that. And the reason I also recommend the pro version is because it gives you a little tab on the toolbar on the left under publisher that says suggestions. And what you can do is you go in there and you put in up to three keywords. So for example, for Bad Redhead Media, my key suggestions would be, say, social media, publishing, and writing. And I'll put that in and it'll pull up relevant articles having to do with those keywords. And because we don't want to be constantly going buy my book, read my stuff, then it pulls up those articles having to do with my keywords, which are appropriate to my branding. And then all I do is just click them off. I just put check marks next to the relevant articles and click publish. And so it automatically just puts those in for me. And, you know, voila, I'm done. You know, I don't have to go search for articles.
Yeah, I have to. Great. It's so funny that you're saying that because I downloaded an app yesterday. That is. It's the Hootsuite. I'm looking at it right now. Hootsuite Suggestions. And I can do it from my phone. So I'm waiting, you know, waiting for my kid or whatever. It's so easy. So I've got Hootsuite. I just added to my phone too. So they've got some really neat tools. And the Hootsuite on my phone, I'm finding I'm using it in a really different way than I do the one on my computer. I just go in during the day and I can find who's mentioned me and follow people back right away. And then I can actually follow it on several different accounts from that one Hootsuite.
Instead Which is of great.
Going to each account. Yeah, so it's pretty cool. They've got some good tools. Do you use the bulk uploader? You have
I don't.
To.
I don't. It's just never really been my thing. But I think a lot of people do like it. The other two things that I think are really great about Hootsuite is that you can add in RSS feeds. So if there are sites that you really, really like that you want to check constantly, you can add those in and pull down those articles. So like, for example, I like Brain Pickings, BuzzFeed, you know, various other. I try to not pick sites where you have a limited amount of articles. So like the New York Times and the Washington Post limits you on the amount of articles you can read every month. So I try not to do those sites. But, you know, sites with interesting content, Mashable, places like that. And so I can pull from those as well anytime.
Yeah.
And once you add them, they're done. They're added.
So what, it schedules them in, though? You add them and don't you have to choose them to go through?
Yes. Then you have to go in and choose what Yeah.
But that's good.
And then assign which profile. But right. Once it's done, it's done. You don't have to keep going through the suggestions. You just click on the RSS feeds, which is awesome.
That is cool.
And then the other great thing about Hootsuite that I like is that you go to your streams and you can interact with people. You can DM them. You can do everything you need to do right from Hootsuite. So you don't have to go to Twitter to do that. You don't have to go to Facebook. You can do everything right from one platform.
I don't
which
use
is
it.
So don't, convenient.
Yeah, I don't use it like that, but I need to because half the time, okay, so I do mostly Twitter on my phone. As soon as you click on it, all the 20 plus mentions are like already clicked like you've opened them. Yeah. I'm like, well, crap, where did I start from? And so I lose track and so I end up missing half the stuff or I spend like 45 minutes scrolling through to find where I was.
Okay.
You know?
Well, Hootsuite on mobile kind of sucks. I will tell you that. I don't love it. My favorite mobile app, and I have an iPhone, is called Tweetbot. And you want to get the most current version, which I think is Tweetbot number 3. Uh-huh. I'm not sure what it is for Android or, the other versions, but it's my absolute favorite mobile app. And it does pretty much, it doesn't give you suggestions. I don't use it for scheduling. I just basically use it for interacting and commenting and stuff like that. But I think that Hootsuite's mobile app is a little clunky.
Yeah.
But for scheduling purposes, I will go in on scheduling. But I pretty much do everything from my laptop.
Yeah.
Now, I also use Buffer. Because I work with Melissa and she prefers Buffer. And so I'm totally cool with that. And so I have a number of other accounts. Like I said, I have a bunch of Twitter accounts, indie book promos, romance promos, YA promos, and women promo, and all these other ones that I started.
Actually, I think you've tagged me on those and I've followed them all. So I've seen them.
Sex abuse, chat, speaker stories. I have so many different projects going.
Oh
so
God,
I have her scheduled content for those and I have them actually all on Hootsuite, but it's easier for her to put them into Buffer. And so the thing about Buffer is you can't interact from there, which is for me a problem. And then you also cannot get suggested content. However, you can put in RSS feeds.
And they're working on suggested content. That's one of the things that they're,
have it.
Or did they take it away? I know they made a change recently.
And they have great suggested content, but it was only under like two or three categories, like social media, inspiration, kind of generic content. So you can really tailor it with the RSS feeds, which is nice. I do love their mobile app. It is super easy to schedule content using their mobile app.
Yeah, that's the one I use the most.
Yeah.
And I mean, for me, like, I just fill in the time, check tweets and all that stuff in between little things like that. You know, my computer, I usually stay on the computer and do work and do a couple of those things. But the mobile apps have been huge just to kind of keep up with everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then I really just use Facebook. All the various mobile apps. Facebook Pages is great if you're managing more than one page. But if you want to get the Facebook Pages app to get likes on your page, because you just go click, 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 click. I mean, it's so much easier.
Really?
Oh my goodness. It is so easy. But if you do too many, then this weird thing pops up. Like a CAPTCHA or whatever they call that, where you have to put in
make sure
the letters and numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wouldn't do more than maybe 25 at a time.
And what does that mean? You're getting people, invite friends to like your page? Is that it? I'm on it right now. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the thing is if you're doing it on your desktop, then you have to search through who have I not invited. But if you do it on the Facebook app, Pages app, all of the people that you haven't invited yet are all at the top.
I'm doing it right now. This is so easy. I never even knew that.
I know, right? They're all aggregated right at the top. So you just click, 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 click. It's so much easier.
It sure is. Well, shoot. I'm not only am I learning new stuff, but I'm instantly doing it right on my phone. That is so cool.
I know. It's so much easier. You can do it on your iPad or whatever.
Yeah,
There you go.
Good
tip for the day.
like not just tip for the day, but like this was supposed to be a quick interview, and I have like 15 more things I need to go look up and start doing. It's so awesome.
Sorry.
No, there's nothing. I feel like I got a free consulting hour, you know. It's just so cool. And I'm sure our listeners, some of their heads are spinning and about to fall off because they don't get it, and the rest of them are like, oh my god, this is great, we love Rachel. So I appreciate your time. This has been a lot of fun, and I was originally just going to do a little here's an update, but now we've been on the phone for 45 minutes, so now I have a whole new podcast. This is great.
Well, anytime. Yes. I'm sure more will come up in the next couple months with the new book out and everything.
Yeah, yeah, and I would love to have you back on when you have, you know, the new book to come out and just to tell everyone what's going on. And I think the 30-day book challenge is perfect for our audience too, because this is exactly what we all need, is what are the tips that experts are using and how to break it down into bite-sized pieces for beginners and, you know, people a bit more advanced. So keep us up to date, and we'd love to have you back whenever you like. Just holler at me. You know how to find me. I'm at 25 different places.
I will. Thank
great.
You so much.
Thank you so much for your time, Rachel, and it's been a great pleasure.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
All right. Thank you.
Please join us next week where we welcome Nicole Wagoner back to the program. It should be a very interesting interview. She's one of our Audience Choice Award winners.
You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com.